Well, greetings, brethren. Welcome to Sabbath services. We've been working on completing the book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, Why Were You Born? And so here is the next to the last version of the cover. We want to make the image of the baby a little brighter, but this tells the whole story, okay? And we've added one more picture, which Randy discovered, and this is a self-painted portrait by the woman here, upside down. Oh, there we go. Okay. Self-painted portrait, and she's entitled it, The Weight and the Reward. So we will have this, we have her permission to put it in. So that will be really good. Okay. Well, everybody's hoping that Donald Trump will be the man to save us. But always remember, you cannot solve spiritual problems by political means. You must solve the spiritual problems first, then the politics will work, if you have the right politics. Okay? So let's continue on. This will be number four. Yeah, number four in 14 things in prophecy that have to occur. Now, right now, we'll go back and we will review a little bit concerning the king of the north and the king of the south. And let's understand that there is probably quite a bit of time to take place. Now, I've got a whole stack. I had to go through a whole stack of things just to summarize, to bring it down to a level that we're not weighted down with too much. Have you ever heard of Hijra? Hijra, all right? Now, Hijra, what is it? It is large-scale mass migrations that become invasions, and this is actually describes what has been going on in Europe. Hijra. Hijra, okay? And it comes from the Quran, which says, and whoever emigrates for the cause of Allah will find on earth many locations and abundance, and whoever leaves his home as an emigrant to Allah and his messenger, then death overtake him. His reward has already become incumbent upon Allah. Now, it's little known, but this mass current Hijra in Europe has been one of those things that's been supported by ISIS, and they actually have give them money, send them out, tell them where to go, and so you're seeing the results of it in Europe. So Hijra. Now, you've heard of jihads, okay? Did you know there are four jihads? Okay. Jihad of murder, that is, kill people. The jihad, the civilization jihad, which is where they go take over civilizations. Now, that's what they're doing right now in Europe. And there is a jihad of textbooks, because they're teaching Allah in schools, because it's not Christian. And there's the jihad of money, so we'll see how that works out, all right? Now, you've heard me say quite a few times, and I've written about this as well, that sooner or later, Turkey's going to get involved in the Middle East problem. And that will work out because the United States and Europe are not willing to put any more troops except what is necessary to bomb ISIS into the Middle East. Now then, the Syrians have come in and done some things in Turkey. Now, when you consider the past history of Turkey with the Ottoman Empire, and they controlled all the Middle East with their empire, and that ended in 1919, they have the largest army and the most efficient and the most, how shall we say, combat experts in the Turkish army. and their army consists of 400,000. They also have a lot of modern equipment, tanks and planes and so forth. So I expect in a not too distant future here that they will make an agreement with Turkey to have their troops come in, because they're Sunni, and get rid of the Shiite and help administer peace in these countries. Now, Turkey will be able to do it. Now, that'll work for a while. Now then, not only did the Prime Minister of Czechoslovakia say we should not have any Islamic people in Europe, so did the country of Hungary. That's why. See, very few people realized that Romania and Hungary were under the domination of the Muslims for 400 years. No, 150 years. 150. And that Istanbul is supposed to be the hiding place of Solomon's heart, a sacred thing that the Muslims want to get. Okay? Now, the first country to go down will probably be Belgium, and they are going to call it Eurabia. George Soros, Europe is on the verge of collapse. Now, if it comes to that, now we're right there with shaky economic things right now around the world. Now, we know that that will eventually lead to the mark of the beast. But it's also going to cause greater problems in Europe and will lead to the rise of the European leader who will be the beast. Some people are saying that the Antichrist will be a Muslim. Now, the Bible doesn't show that. You look at the King of the North and the King of the South, and you can go through history. How far? Clear back to Rome. And then all the fighting that occurred there in the Middle East and all those things going on, as we saw in that historical clip by the professor from Tennessee. And they want to take over Europe, actually take over the whole world. So that's going to really cause some problems with the economic difficulties that are occurring. All right, we'll talk about China in just a little bit. Right now, in Canada, now, most people don't understand it, but Canada imports a great deal of its food. And the Canadian dollar went down from a high at one point several years ago of to buy $1 Canadian with U.S. money would cost you $1.30. Now, the value is down to buy one Canadian dollar cost you 70 cents, okay? So there is an escalation of prices, it says here. Canadians panic as food prices soar on collapsing currency. See, because their currency was also dependent on oil. And now that oil is down at about $39 a barrel, or was it 29? Got down to 29. Yeah. Okay. Now, as a result of that, they're looking for a recession worse than 2008. Now, when you think about all the problems that we have now, if it turns out that there is a Great Depression in America, and it will start in China. Now, China, as we'll talk about in a little bit, has some great problems. All right? So we'll get to that in just a bit. All right. Here is a report, which is a graphic showing the debt in trillions, comparing it to the White House. Okay? Here's the White House right here. And these are stacks of $100 bills. Trillions, trillions, trillions of debt. And so that's going to come due. Now, one secret they're not telling you is this. They say that China is going to come out really good if there's a depression. Probably not, because they have more debt than America. So they've had to use, as I explained a couple weeks ago, some of their reserves to save the stock markets. They used to have $6.1 trillion in cash reserves. They now have $3.3 trillion. Where did it go? Well, to try and save their stock markets. Okay? Now, so we have covered kings of the north, kings of the south, world trade, and of course, I just asked you to go home and look at what you have at home and where it was made. Okay? And then the mark of the beast. Now, I'll tell you a little story about that today. The mark of the beast will come. Let's come back here to Revelation 13. And we've covered it has to do with buying and selling. And if you can't buy and you can't sell, then they can control you. But they will not be satisfied with that. You wait and see. They're going to have many more avenues of control that they will want to use. Now, eventually, it will come down to, and of course, the mark of the beast, it says here, verse 16, Revelation 13, and he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond, to receive a mark in their right hands and in their foreheads, so that no one may have the ability to buy and sell unless he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, we can find quite a few things connected with the Catholic Church and connected with the Roman emperors of the past and so forth, where 666 is involved. That is true. But this will apply to the end time. Now, they're trying to get you to use less cash and less checks. Now, just yesterday, I had to buy something. And so I got out my checkbook, and I wrote out a check and gave it to them. And they ran it through their system that they have, and it came back unaccepted. So I said, we'll try it again. Came back unaccepted. And the clerk said, well, I can't accept it. And I said, well, why not? You know, you want to turn away business? You want to turn away customers? Okay. So I said, why don't you get a supervisor here and see if she can approve it and go through it? So she came out and said, no, we can't do it. Because you're not in our system, see? So you don't even need a mark. You can't even use a check. So because I got such a good deal on it, the price was $119, and I got it for $69.90. So I used my credit card to buy it, and it went through. See? Now then, another little sidebar. I ordered some checks recently because mine were running out. Normally, they came in a pack of 30 checks, okay? And with about 5 or 6 deposit slips, okay? This time they came with 25 checks and 3 deposit slips. So the squeeze is on. And then the new credit cards that you have a little special chip in it. And now you don't swipe that one because they are getting the equipment now. You put your card into a slot so it can read that little chip that you have. Okay? So, that will come about. We're getting closer and closer and closer to it. And as I have mentioned before, when the bankers are able to have digital money, they don't have to worry about debt because they can just have an official committee make an official decision and increase the number of the digital debt to create cash that they need. Now, someone asked a question. If all are required to take it, how is it that those of the 144,000 looks like they may have avoided it? Well, number one, it will take a time to enforce. It's not going to be something that can be done around the world all at once. But the 144,000 from the children of Israel, maybe there's going to be a resistance of it, and maybe there will be for a time some bartering and things like this, so that there will be some people who won't have it. Okay? Now, I don't know about the Americans, but I think the Americans will resist it probably more than any other people. However, right now, Sweden, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania have between 95% and 98% for Sweden, all digital transactions, no cash. So, for a number on how far long is the mark of the beast, let's put that 7 to 8 on a scale of 10. 7 to 8. So watch the little things that come along. I'm sure it's going to be pretty soon someplace you go to buy something, you have cash to pay for it, and say, sorry, we can't take cash. Okay. Let's start at Revelation 6. And remember, none of these things occur unless Christ makes them occur. Because the great events at the end are sealed, and only Christ can open them. Revelation 6. And I looked when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say, like the sound of thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, there was a white horse, and the one who was sitting on it had a bow. And a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. So let's put in here the next thing, while we're looking at the King of the North, the King of the South, and so forth, which is the ecumenical movement to bring all religions together. And the Pope is right on the cutting edge of doing that. So the first seal that is open now, this one may have been opened, okay, to bring the religions together. Or it may not have been opened in the way that we think it will be. Rather, what is happening now to the preliminary work to bring them together is what is taking place. Because a white horse, that's a counterfeit Christ. Now, the second seal, I think, will be opened when the King of the North comes against the King of the South. And that will set the stage for a world war. Now notice, he opened the second seal, and I heard a second living creature say, come and see, and another horse went out that was red, and power was given to the one sitting on it to take peace from the earth and cause them to kill one another. And a great sword was given to him. And so then follows immediately. Now today, this will happen very rapidly. Notice, the third living creature, seal was opened, and he said, come and see. And behold, there was a black horse, and one sitting on it had a balance in his hand, and heard a voice from the midst of the four living creatures say, a measure of wheat for a silver coin, 3 measures of barley for a silver coin, and see that you do not damage the oil and the wine. Because look at how quickly that food supplies will run out, because we're all in metropolitan areas. I mean, just look what happens. I mean, even this snowstorm back east, they said, everybody get some supplies for at least 3 or 4 days. Well, on the news, you see shelves of the supermarkets empty. Shovels gone. Little tractors gone. Snow blowers gone. Think of what it's going to be when there is a war. Look at how bad it is right now in the Middle East with just these skirmishes that are happening. it's going to be difficult, see. So it will come fast. And so then this will affect this part of the earth. Verse 7, he opened the fourth seal, and the voice of the fourth living creature said, come and see. And I looked, and behold, there was a pale horse, and the name of the one sitting on it was death. And the grave followed him, and authority was given to them over one-fourth of the earth. Now, which one-fourth of the earth will that be? We don't know. To kill with the sword, with the famine, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Now then, who's going to take all the blame? All the Christians. Then there will be the martyrdom of the saints. The fifth seal. All right. Now then, the sixth seal is going to be the appearance of the Son of Man in the heavens. And that's going to shock the world. Now, let's stop and think for a minute here. The Bible says, every eye shall see him. How are they going to see him? Because when the sixth seal opens, a dramatic event is going to take place. And we will see what that is. Let's come back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. When the king of the north comes down into Egypt and then goes into the Holy Land, that will be the abomination of desolation when he goes into the temple. And the Jews will build a temple. And he will declare himself to be God, because the false prophet will proclaim him that he is God. That's when the tribulation begins, which is the second seal. Then those who are in Judea are to flee to the mountains. And then, let's come down here to verse 27. For as the light of day, now what is the light of day? The sun. Which comes forth from the east and shines as far as the west, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Now, this is a descriptive introduction of what's going to follow. Okay? And the Bible does that in many cases. It tells you an outline of what is going to follow and then tells you the details. So that's what it does here. Verse 29. But immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now this has to be the tribulation against Israel. Now, this is not the end of the wars and destruction. There's a whole lot more to take place. How do we know? Well, hold your place here because we'll come back. So now you got two holds. Let's come to Hosea, the fifth chapter, Hosea 5. Hosea 5 and verse 15, okay? This is what happens when the tribulation comes upon Israel. Verse 15, I will go, I will return to my place until they confess their guilt and seek my face. When does Israel seek the face of God? In their affliction, they will seek me earnestly. Now, chapter 6. Here's what they will say. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he is torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, okay? After 2 days. If a day is a year in prophecy, how long is this? 2 years. How long is the great tribulation? 3.5. So the tribulation in those days has to be the tribulation against all 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? Now notice, he will revive us after 2 days or after 2 years. In the third day, beginning of the third year, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Now, if you take away 2 years from 3.5 years, and maybe a little bit of time more, how much do you have left? A year and a half. Now, we shall live in his sight. Then we shall understand, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going out is prepared as the morning, and he shall come to us as the rain, the latter and the former rain of the earth. All right? Now, let's come back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. All right? Immediately after the tribulation of those days, after 2 years, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. We will see this in just a minute in Revelation, the 8th chapter. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Okay? What is the sign of the Son of Man? Verse 27. He described it first, which looks like the sun. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn when they shall see the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven unto the other. And of course, that's looking down on the earth, and the angels are gathering them and bringing them to the sea of glass. All right, now let's put this together. Okay? Back to Revelation 6. We'll follow the track of it. Revelation 6. Now here's what's going to happen, which will fulfill those things in Matthew 24. Verse 14. No, let's go back to verse 12. Then he opened the sixth seal, and I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as the hair of sackcloth, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree casts its untimely figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the heaven departed like a scroll, suddenly opening up, and something new is going to appear. What is that something new that's going to appear? The sign of the Son of Man, which looks like a second sun. That's why every eye will see him. And for how long? A year and a half. Okay, let's go forward. And the kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, the chief captain, the powerful men, every bondman, every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who has the power to stand? Think of all the destruction that takes place when the earth is shaken like this and the earthquakes take place. Now then, chapter 7. This will tie in with Hosea 6. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth so that the wind might not blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to damage the earth and sea, saying, do not damage the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. This ties in with Hosea 6, where the children of Israel repent, and they are in captivity. Notice, it has to be the 12 tribes. And I heard the number of those who were sealed. Now, why are they sealed? They're given the Holy Spirit. Can God do it under the supervision of an angel? Of course. 144,000 sealed out of every tribe of the children of Israel. Now then, does that not tie in with Hosea 6? Let us return to the Lord. Tribe of Judah fulfills another prophecy. What is that? He will save the tents of Judah first. There it is, right there. Then he lists all the 12 tribes. And then, because of everything that took place, great innumerable multitude from all nations also repent. Now then, let's clear up another thing here. All of those will be saved and be in the first resurrection. How do we know? Because it says, verse 9, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude no one is able to number, out of every nation and tribe and people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and holding palms in their hands. Now, some people think they immediately go to heaven. No, that's telling you where they are going to be. Because no one goes to heaven until actually carried up in the air to the first heaven where the sea of glass will be. No one goes there until when? The seventh trump, which is the first resurrection. So this is telling us who they are and what their reward will be. But it doesn't happen instantly. Now, how do we know? Well, chapter 8 and chapter 9 tell us. Because if they went to heaven at that point, and all of the people who were martyred went to heaven when they died, would there be any saints left on the earth? No. So, let's see it here. Chapter 8, you can go back through the rest of it and find out about it, okay? Now, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and the seven trumpets were given to them, and another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and much incense was given to him, so that he might offer it with the prayers of all the saints. If they are in heaven, there is no need for them to pray. But if they are on the earth, their prayers go up like incense. And so this tells us that the 144,000 and a great innumerable multitude are praying to God for safety, for protection, for all of that sort of thing. And their prayers go up to God. All right? And so then, here we have the next thing to happen, the beginning of the last year and a half of the tribulation coming upon the whole world. All right, let's go ahead and take a little break, and we'll come back. Well, I kind of got ahead of myself on this, but that's okay. Now, We'll talk a little bit more about China a little bit, but kind of got ahead of myself here. Okay, so let's recapitulate here. Okay, we had the false prophet, and then the fall of Israel. Okay, fall of Israel 6. False prophet is 7. Number 8 will be the temple. Now, we'll get to the temple in just a little bit, but let's come to chapter 8 again in Book of Revelation. Now, this is the king of the north who came to down and took over Jerusalem in the Middle East, and who heard tidings out of the north and the east. Now, that's what this chapter 7 is leading up to, okay? First part of chapter 8, then, talks about God's direct intervention. And as we saw with the prayer of the saints, all right? These things come very quickly. 1, 2, 3, 4, then we have 3 more woes to go. Chapter 9, then, talks about how this is where it's fulfilled, where the king of the north goes from the Middle East to attack north and east. That's Russia, all of the nations east, and China. Now, he has a secret weapon that torments them for 5 months. as if they've been stung with a scorpion. This is the king of the north. That's the power that he has. Now notice, come here to verse 6 of chapter 9. And it was said to them, the locusts that come out and the power that they had, that they should not damage the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, if they're already up in heaven, why would he have to say that? Who are the ones that were sealed? 144,000, great innumerable multitude. So they're still on the earth. So sometimes when you read parts of Revelation, it looks like they're in chapter 7 that they immediately go to heaven before the throne of God. That's not true. That's telling you where they will end up, but it doesn't tell you the timing. So when it gives that summary, it gives the impression. But you see, you have to have other things to balance that out. Okay. Then the second part of chapter 9 is the kings of the east and the number of their army, 200 million. Now then, okay. So we've kind of got ahead of ourselves by going through Revelation the way we did. Let's come to number 8. There must be a temple. Revelation 8. Now, hold on.